Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, as always. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is indeed the broadcast for Liberty Roundtable Live, September the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two at two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Southern Poverty Law Center thugs are in the news, Kurt.
Yeah, I'm thinking, Sam, maybe what we got to do is rename Liberty News Radio Poverty, you know, put poverty in it, because seems to be the way that you could end up with a whole lot of money.
What I don't understand is, how do the Southern Poverty Law Center folks, how do the Southern guys prevent from being racist, Kurt?
Well, I know.
Oh, because they accuse everybody else of being racist, and that way nobody accuses
then they
them.
Say they're not, yeah.
I see, okay.
But anyway, Gerald Beer, B-I-E-R, is the author of this piece, and the headline, like you say, the Southern Poverty Law Center has $69 million parked overseas. Yeah, and then the subheadline, the civil rights group, best known for its hate map, has investments across the globe, including in the Caymans, British Virgin Islands, remember those, and Bermuda. They say they invest almost 20% of their nearly $320 million endowment fund in offshore equities. Who endowed them with $320 million? But anyway, offshore equities and other investments. Their 2016 annual report of this, by the way, they're based in Alabama as well, you know, just in case you knew. They report that $69 million plus of their non-U.S. equity funds are among the assets comprising the total endowment fund of $319 plus million. This is a fund the SPLC describes as a plan for the day when nonprofits like the SPLC can no longer afford to solicit support through the mail because of rising postage and printing costs. They say the contributions in 2016, by the way, topped $45 million. This author says, I guess that day hasn't yet arrived. You know, the day when they can't send out postage and printing, you know, because it's too expensive.
All they got to do is get their friends in Congress to give them some kind of a free mail option. They just grant a special privilege to themselves, and they'll be off and running, Kurt.
Yeah, the Weekly Standard is where this piece came from. They inquired of the SPLC about the appropriateness of the $69 million in offshore investments. And by the way, remember, these are a nonprofit organization. Now, isn't it weird, you know, we have very little money, but we're a profitable thing, and they're a nonprofit? But anyway, they say the SPLC president, Richard Cohen, he responded when they asked him about the appropriateness of the $69 million in these offshore investments. He says, it's common for universities, foundations, and other nonprofit organizations to have a portion of their endowments invested in offshore funds. Each such fund in which the SPLC has invested is a highly reputable one that was recommended by Cambridge Associates, one of the country's leading investment advisory firms for nonprofit institutions. So there you go, Sam. The SPLC, the poverty boys.
And this kind of, I don't know what word you want to use, but dovetails exactly with what I'm saying. Hey, Kurt, you and I can't raise a penny if we try. Now, I get that Kurt's going to come back and say, Sam, you can raise some pennies, just not very many pennies. Okay, I agree. But I'm telling you right now, these guys got $69 million in offshore overseas accounts or whatever else. You might call it their rainy day fund or whatever, in case the mail gets too expensive or something. But, Kurt, we don't even have 5% of what these guys are talking about. In fact, do we even have 1%?
I don't think so. By the way, 1% of $320 million, which is their endowment fund, would be three-something million.
Okay, do we even have one-tenth of 1%, Kurt?
No, not that I'm aware of. Okay. But anyway, just so you know, this article does point out, besides the Poverty Boys, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center that calls us the
You know, when we bring it up to our people that we know, hey, can you help us? You know what that say, Kurt? That say, you know, I really don't have the funds.
What's the return on investment? How do you, I talked
to
one guy yesterday.
I'd love to help you, but I just can't, you know, really free up the cash for that, Kurt. In fact, if you call me in a couple of months, I might be able to work on it.
I talked to one guy yesterday. He's pretty, you know, flush with cash, if you will. And when I suggested to him about invested in the media, he said, well, how do you make money with that?
You don't.
But anyway. The,
did you tell him that, here, Kurt?
I was telling him, well, here's how it could be done. But anyway, the American Civil
Liberties
Union.
And I think as long
Union
as you talk about what we talk about, I don't know that it can be done.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to have people that are willing to support it.
That's
and
right.
That's the key thing. But the American Civil Liberties Union is in this story that has to do with the Poverty Boys or the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they say at least one large civil rights organization completely eschews, this is a fancy word that means they don't like this, the practice, and that is this practice of, you know, putting their money in these different things. And these, the ACLU Foundation have combined assets of more than $250 million, by the way, and you can see why they can do the things they do. But both, they say 990s, which is a form that I'm sure an IRS, well, it's an IRS form, yeah, 990, filed by the groups answer no to a question about aggregate foreign investments valued at $100,000 or more. Another civil rights group, the Human Rights Campaign, similarly avoids foreign investments, though the organization's total assets total only about $9 million. I mean,
they're tiny.
Campaign, those,
in fact,
those
but what they could do is they could learn, they could probably hire the Southern Poverty Law Center to help them invest properly, Kurt.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They say besides the $69 million in offshore investments, the SPLC's endowment includes $60 million in U.S. public equities. $36 million in private equities, buyouts, venture capital, distressed companies, $18 million in real estate. That's a real estate, gas, oil, reserves, etc. $57 million in marketable alternative funds. This is how the Poverty Boys invest your money. Various hedge funds made up of derivatives, hedge funds, and risk arbitrage, besides bonds and cash. So the Poverty Boys, they're afloat or awash in money, aren't they, Sam?
Well, it depends on how you define a wash. I mean, I only see M, not B by those numbers, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
So, I mean, you know, they're kind of, they're in poverty, you know, compared to the modern day deal.
The millions instead of billions. Good point.
Other than that, yeah, they got plenty of cash. Compared to us, they're just super rich. But again, you know, for us, we're lucky if we can raise, you know, I don't even think we could raise $50,000 if we wanted to, Kurt.
By the way, Sam, the last sentence in the article from the Daily Standard says only about 1% of the SPLC's endowment fund is restricted. So that,
what does
that means
mean?
$320 million, only about 1%, which would be $3.2 million. Is restricted. Now, I suppose you got to figure out what restricted means. Then it says use of the remaining $300 million plus is up to the discretion of the organization's board of directors. When, you know, I mean,
so
you've
if
seen
I'm
our
the leader
board
of this
of
thing,
directors.
I got a certain amount of money that I can just spend willy nilly, whatever I want. The other one, I got to go back to the boys and the people that agree with me and say, hey, you know, is this an okay way to spend the money? Is that how it is?
Well, the board can basically spend the $300 million however they want. the 3.2 million apparently is restricted. That's pretty wide open. When you compare our board of directors on the Give Me Liberty Fund and the CSPOA and that kind of thing, and their board of directors, I bet you'll find some big differences.
Yeah, our board of directors doesn't have any money. All right.
Well, yeah, but besides that, you'll find some folks different with different principles.
Desires or goals, no question. All right, hang tight. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. The Southern Poverty Law Center is absolutely out of control. Absolutely out of control and flush with cash. And they're attacking us relentlessly. The pro-death groups have plenty of money they've been raising, too. And the big media has a lot of money on pennies. I can't even say we're running our organization on pennies compared to this stuff, Kurt. We're running on fumes. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, big money, the civil rights group best known for its hate map. Now, only a hateful group would put together such a hate-driven map, wouldn't you think, Kurt?
That's the way I see it, Sam. I mean, it seems like they're, and by the way, you want me to list off, it looks like they got about 12 guys on the board of directors. I shouldn't say guys because there appears to be some ladies.
And you just don't know. They might be transgender, Kurt. You might not even know by their names what they really are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You just think you know because you believe in, like, tradition. And stuff like that,
yeah.
But these people don't believe in that stuff, my friend.
This one thing called the Zog.info lists them and puts behind them, for example, it says their name, Sean Price. Then it says Ashkenazi Jew. It tells you, I guess Sub-Saharan African.
I understand that. Part of the problem that I have with that is that suggests that. It's kind of like the white supremacist idea, Kurt.
Yeah.
So they'd write Sam Bushman, white supremacist, even though that's a lie. Again, I don't care if somebody's Jewish by either what lineage and or religion. That's their choice. Now, I understand the point that's made. Oh, Sam, you don't get it. The Jews own everything. I understand. But I don't go down that divisionary rabbit hole because I don't believe that it's really helpful. I'm going to basically say this person isn't good because they're promoting hate via their hate map.
Yes.
That's enough to say that I don't agree with them and I reject their agenda.
Right.
I don't need to tie it to a religious battle and to a racist battle necessarily, right? So
you've got all these
go.
Connected
Name
people.
Them,
you know, well, you got Henry Solano.
He's
the vice
Henry?
Chairman. What do they say about him?
Yeah.
I mean, you can click on there and read about, you know.
I know, I'm just saying, don't they have instead of Oscar or whatever, Jew, don't they have something?
Oh, no, yeah. Well, this is on the SPLC's website.
Yeah, stick with where you were. Don't just switch and leave and stuff.
Oh.
Stay right
so
where you
don't,
were.
Okay, well, I mean.
And what do they
sure
say about this
got,
next guy?
You mean the one that calls them the Jewish people and all that
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, you gave me a website and you said they got the names and then what they say about each person. You
yeah,
gave me
they've
a name
got,
and you told me what they said about first guy. What about the second guy?
Oh, I was telling you about one guy, just, you know, one off the list at the one website that I don't think we should really go to the info for.
I just, the only reason I'm bringing this up is I want to see what they say about the next guy and see how divisionary they make this, which I reject that whole idea.
Well, from what I can see on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website, there
so
all
websites.
These connected people to that are either attorneys or judges or, you know, that kind of thing. And then they're, like in this guy's case, he had the Colorado Public Television, connections
tapped into the media,
and all that
sure.
kind of stuff. Yeah.
The reason that I wanted you to go through that is I wanted to see if they had any white supremacists on there.
Well, you mean on this
on the
one
website
that's
you
from
gave
the
me,
Zog?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is exactly, but they do list them by Jewish and different things.
Yeah, they don't say any of them are white supremacists on the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well, not that I can see. Oh. They just call them.
Well, Kurt, if we're gonna have a what do they call that? Fair representation or.
Oh, yeah.
What is
yeah,
it when you
got to
get some of the other guys on there or whatever?
Oh, yeah. When you have to have so many black people.
Yeah,
so
what,
many
I don't know if it's quotas or.
Affirmative action. That's what
I don't know if I
is.
Want to call it affirmative action in this case, but don't you have to have at least a couple of white supremacists on there, Kurt?
Yeah. Well, this one has Negro, lesbian, white, European.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what they got them
See, this is
labeled
what
as.
The reason that I wanted you to go back to that is I want to highlight what they're saying. Every one of those labels is just divisive as all get out.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, for example, if somebody happens to be black, I'm not so sure that it's relevant. What if all of a sudden they said Mormon by one of them, Kurt?
I don't see any of those dangerous
Ooh,
ones.
Okay. See, all I'm telling you is what good does that divisive, or do they say Christian or Muslim by any of them, Kurt?
I don't see that either.
Because if they're going to tell you about one person's religion, that they're Jewish, they ought to tell you about everybody else's, Kurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
If they tell you the race of one, then they got to tell you the race of all of them, don't they? Do we have any Indians on there?
Yeah, they do have one or two on here.
And are they Indians from India, or are they Native American kind, or what kind of Indians are they?
I'm not sure. I just said Indian.
Okay.
Besides, some of them say Jew, some of them say Chinese. Mulatto, I don't know what that is.
Mulatto
exactly.
is like a black person that's kind of
brown.
Part black and part something else,
okay.
right?
Okay. Yeah, well, that's just.
What if they just
not
put
a way
child
to get
of
along.
God by all of them, Kurt?
Yeah, yeah, good point. Anyway, interesting stuff, huh?
Well,
but,
anyway, I bring
well
all that up. Now,
connected.
In this hate map, are they going to have this teacher on there? I guess Georgia teacher goes ballistic on students wearing pro-Trump T-shirts like Make America Great Again. Now, we covered this story, but there's some extra twists, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, you know, at least in my opinion, it's important to remember that this school district is now kind of backed down. And they said, hey, sorry about that. And the whole idea of a shirt that says Make America Great Again being a Trump, pro-Trump hat or pro-Trump shirt, It says, make America great again. It doesn't say, I'm for whatever Trump says.
Kurt, it's like...
Does it?
It's like a secret subliminal message, Kurt.
Yeah. Anyway, the school administration there has apologized to the students and their parents.
By the way, as they should.
Said that the shirts did not violate the school dress code.
Has the teacher been fired and added to the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map?
Oh, come on, Sam. That's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because this teacher, you know, compared wearing this T-shirt that says Make America Great Again, she compared it to wearing a Nazi swastika.
Yeah. See what I mean? She belongs on the hate map.
I mean, it's just like, what? I mean, anyway.
But I got a question about the, what is that thing called, a swastika?
Yeah, swastika.
All right, I got a question, though. Is that sign, like, evil? Did Hitler, like, copyright it and stuff like that, Kurt?
I don't think so.
And did that sign exist before Hitler perverted it, Kurt?
You know, I suppose it did. I thought it was something to do with, like, a broken cross or something.
What would that symbolize, Kurt? In the minds of who? And what I don't like is taking words and or pictures and or phrases and then just suggesting that somehow, if it's ever used, that it means what they create it to mean. In other words, I'm not really for that symbol, but what I'm getting at is that symbol now just forever owned by the Nazis? Because they take it over?
Looks like it, huh, Sam?
Well, I reject that whole narrative. I don't agree with that. All right, I guess Barack Obama's costing us a pretty penny, huh, Kurt? Whose fault's that?
Well, Congress wouldn't have anything to do with it, I'm sure. but he wants some more taxpayer money, according to Liberty News Daily Piece. And the, I guess they say... by the way, the president donates his entire presidential salary to charity, and he's donated $1 million to Hurricane Harvey relief. You know, we're talking about President Trump. On the other hand, Barack Obama has asked for a large increase in the money he receives as a former president. The base, you know, what we would call the minimum wage for a presidential pension is $205,700. But former presidents can request more. Yeah. Obama wants $236,000 next year. You know, something about extra costs for napkins and stuff like that. This is more than any other former president, by the way. His D.C. office is going to cost taxpayers a little over $500,000 next year. Well, I mean, you got those Dixie cups and all that kind of stuff. In total, Obama has asked for a total of $1.153 million, which exceeds, they say, that being received by any other former president. The Obamas are not exactly living in poverty. Poverty Law Center. He's already received an estimated $60 million for a book deal. He's expected to earn hundreds of millions more. Ante up, baby.
I want to know whose fault that is.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. President Trump has fulfilled another campaign promise. He reversed the DACA DACA program put in place by the previous administration. Some are criticizing him for doing what his attorney general says he was legally obligated to do. Most experts agree that what the previous administration did in setting up DACA violated the Constitution that gives exclusive authority over immigration and naturalization to Congress. By his actions, though, the president has put the burden back where most say it belongs, and that's with Congress. As this country struggles to get the United Nations to put stronger and deeper sanctions on North Korea after its latest test of a nuclear weapon, an ambassador from North Korea has promised to, quote, give more gift packages to the U.S. This comes as the South Korean military is reporting the North is moving more ballistic missiles to the coastline. This could indicate another test. Some experts are concerned it could be different from previous tests. That means it could be even more dangerous. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low-delay, crystal-clear audio over the Internet. AudioCompass.com.
There is a place you can go to get up to speed quickly on all the stories that matter to freedom-loving people. GovernAmerica.com features news and commentary about Agenda 21, technocracy, the economy, border violence, and more. Go to GovernAmerica.com. That's GovernAmerica.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So Barack Obama is the most expensive ex-president, and he wants more taxpayer cash. Kurt, whose fault's that?
Well, I think we know that Congress is supposed to control the purse strings, Sam. But
yes.
Whose fault is it that he wants more money, or whose fault is it that he's going to get more?
Well, that he's the most expensive president, first of all. Now, I don't care that he wants.
That'd be a Federal Reserve problem, probably, right? You know, if we had honest money, then he'd be getting the same amount as everybody else. You know, he could get so many silver dollars or so many
gold
dollars.
What I'm saying, though, is this. Why are we giving ex-presidents any money? Cared at all? Look, you get $400,000 a year.
Well,
plus
they're on
benefits.
Poverty, Sam. I mean, those poor guys. I mean, you know.
So
like
if you serve
you
a four-year term,
you get
like $60 million
book deal.
You get $1.6 million if you stay in there for 4 years. If you stay in there 8 years, you get like Brock did. You get what, $3.2 million?
Mm-hmm.
Which really should set you up for life if you're, you know, careful with your money and everything. Not to mention the, all that. Why are we giving them more money on top of it, Kurt? And what needs to be done to stop it?
Well, it's because we have so much money. I mean, who's going to talk about the $20 trillion we are in debt and stuff like that? But, I mean, we're just flush with cash.
I was kind of thinking we ought to just chop off the money to Barack and say go to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They'd be glad to assist you. They got plenty of cash hidden overseas, and they're ready to go. They're more than willing to help. What do you think of that idea, Kurt? But, again, I blame this squarely on Congress, though. Why are they allowing presidents to receive any money, Kurt?
And then if you really have to place the blame, you got to go back to who put Congress in there, right, Sam?
The people, you mean?
That's right.
I would blame the people, except for I'm not sure what the people can do about it now. The system's been so shanghaied, I think our hands are tied to some degree. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep working at it. Of course we should. But I'm saying I don't know what Sam Bushman can do to stop money from going to Barack or any former president at this point. I mean, I can call my senator and get voicemail, maybe. Should I call Mike Lee, senator,
effective.
And get voicemail
and
leave him a voice message and say, hey, I think you really ought to chop off the money to Barry?
Yeah, I mean, in the good news section, Sam, let me tell you some good news.
Here goes Kurt Crosby. He's going to say, hey, the hurricane chopped off power for 6 months to my island, where I'm a second-class citizen.
Lucky it's not a year.
But at least it wasn't a year. There you go. There he goes again. All right, what's the good news, Kerry?
No, the good news is down in Alabama, Judge Roy Moore is basically, they say, got a commanding double-digit lead.
Now, but there's a scandal bubbling up about Judge Roy Moore they try to pitch, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, they're trying to say that, hey, you know, Judge Roy Moore is such an evil dude. He took a bunch of extra cash from a, let's see, what do they say? Million from, yeah, did, it's, here's the question. Did Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore take a million from a charity he ran? You know, so that's what you see in the headline, and that's what you're pretty much left with, unless you read in the story. There's an attack ad that's targeting Roy Moore, and
see, I don't like these unsubstantiated allegations where there's no convictions used against candidates, though, Kurt. It's a last ditch effort to be dishonest, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, but guess who's funding this? It's the Senate Leadership Fund,
and in bed with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Well, I don't know about that. The Senate Leadership Fund is connected to Mr. McConnell. It's aligned, they say, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And this author went in and investigated this whole claim that the Moore family drew over $1 million from what's called the Foundation for Moral Law. And they say this... bottom line is they got some money, but it was over a number of years. And the facts were just not.
Let me give you a comparison. Let's say you release an article that says Sam Bushman made over $100,000 at Liberty News Radio.
Yeah. And then later, way down in the article, it said, in the last 30 years.
Yeah, he ran it for 25 years.
Yeah,
see, and that's the game they're playing here. Yeah, I think it's dishonest as all get out, folks.
Yeah,
but that's how they roll. And then they ask it as a question. And the reason they do that, Kurt, is because then they can't be, you know, brought up on charges that they're making some claim. They can just ask the question and sow the seeds of mistrust.
Last sentence in the article says, but the ad gave the wrong impression that Moore took a salary from the nonprofit while serving as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And I would simply add, that was the whole point of the ad, right, Sam? Is to give the wrong impression.
Of course it was. But of course there's no accountability, right?
Well, hopefully the people will see through it down there in Alabama.
Amen. Amen to that. And you know what? That is something that we can do our part. I can't, you know, maybe fix the world, but I can do my part. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, say, Sam, on the radio, you're just preaching to the choir, or what good does your vote do, or whatever else. And my response is, I don't know, and I don't have control of all that.
Yeah.
What I do know is I am going to do my part, though.
By the way, another good news for Judge Roy Moore. Looks like our buddy Mark Meadows, now, you know, you might not remember him, but he's the House Freedom Caucus chairman. He has now endorsed the former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore. He delivered another conservative boost to Judge Roy Moore in the hotly contested primary, and he said, I'm proud to endorse Judge Roy Moore for the U.S. Senate. The people of Alabama are seeing millions of dollars in false advertising flow into their state.
Which Meadows are we talking about?
Well, Mark Meadows is the guy's name.
So it's Mark, okay?
Yeah, and this is the latest endorsement that Moore has received from the anti-establishment forces. I'd like to call them the Freemen, but it's hard to say exactly. But you know, anyway, the good guys that are somewhere around Washington D.C. We already talked about how he was endorsed by Mike Huckabee. And Steve Bannon. Anyway, it's looking good for Judge Roy Moore. At least in my opinion, that's some of the good news.
Yes, and this poll where Judge Roy Moore has a commanding lead over Luther Strange.
Yeah.
What are you going to call that guy? Establishment candidate, I guess?
That's what I'd call him, the king man, the insider boy, supported, you know.
So headline, and Freeman has commanding lead over Kingman, an epic battle in Alabama.
Yeah.
See, just think how our headlines would compare to the mainstream press's headlines, Kurt.
We hope the people win.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, poor Donald's on the wrong side of this one, isn't he, Kurt?
Well, that's what I think.
The only defense Donald might have is, like, I don't want that guy to be a senator. I've got him slated to be the next judge on the Supreme Court or something.
Yeah, good point.
You know, I could give a little pass for that. Otherwise, I just think... So at clutch times, Donald betrays us. Kurt, he wants to raise the debt ceiling. He wants to go ahead and, you know, he wanted to sell us down the river on Obamacare and vote for the insider Mitch McConnell plan. He now kind of backs into this idea that he's going to back this establishment candidate Strange while he pretends he's draining the swamp kind of stuff. And I don't know. Well, good for Mark Meadows.
Yeah.
I guess Apple's in the news too, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah. Are you ready to taste this apple? In this case...
No, I think this is a bad apple, Kurt.
I just thought this was interesting. Apparently, there's ways you can invest your money, and I just didn't know that you could do this, but...
Well, if you need to get financial advice, you just got to ask the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're pretty creative at investing their money, right?
Well, that's right, yeah. There's $69 million overseas. There's $320 million that they've got as their fund. But anyway, Apple's bonds, they say, according to Cecile Gutcher, are acting more and more like government debt. Man, that'd be tough if you're Apple to get having people say you're acting like government. But anyway, they've just sold $5 billion of bonds, and they say they mimic U.S. curve. And investors are casting about for safe options as U.S. lawmakers hurtle toward a debt ceiling.
And do you want to know why this is, Kurt?
Yes.
Because there's such a massive company on the government-controlled stock markets that the revenues and the finance relating to these massive companies mirror government because they're bonds, Kurt, and they relate to debt, and the debt relates to the Federal Reserve. And what I mean is the government really controls all that in a backhanded, manipulated way. And so it's not surprising that this is the case, Kurt.
Yeah, they say the iPhone maker, Apple, can't print its own currency like the U.S. government does, but it's certainly approaching something akin to favored nation status in the debt markets.
See, because they'll be too big to fail, Kurt. Just imagine if Apple failed, what would happen? See, and so they're backing into this government-subsidized reality, government-controlled scenario. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. When you create a monopoly on money like the Federal Reserve has, and then you create that economic engine, if you will, that fiat money system that you have complete monopoly control over, and then you force that to be the world's currency by fiat and by hegemony, if you will, and then Apple, one of the biggest companies in the world, allowed to grow beyond realistic proportions. Now you would say, well, Sam, can't the free market let a company grow? Yeah, but companies would never get that big without fake money. And they would never get that big without the government backing winners and losers and the manipulation of the marketplace, etc. Then you get this scenario where you start to say, well, man, you know, this huge company and their fortunes, their profits, their bonds, they're acting more and more like government debt or more and more like the mirroring of the monopoly in the market. Why are we surprised at that, Kurt?
Well, it's a great question, Sam. You know, when you look at this story, they say the narrow risk premiums on Apple's bonds suggest duration. That's more like government than corporate peers, according to Emmons, with bigger compensation for risk of future Federal Reserve rate hikes than for the chance of default. Now, the last sentence or the last couple of sentences here gives you a little more detail inside this, how this works. That may not be surprising given Apple's ample coffers. It generates more cash than any other public U.S. company. And I might add, Sam, compared to the whole U.S. government, Apple has more money than the whole U.S. government because the U.S. government's $20 trillion plus in debt, right?
That's factual, except for one big difference, Kurt. Apple can't print money. The government
can. What they say. Yeah.
So, you know, other than that difference, I agree. But I'm just saying it's not surprising to me when these huge companies kind of mirror that scenario. It's just not surprising to me at all because I see that you've created such moral hazard in the marketplaces, Kurt, that, you know, how can it not represent that and mirror that everywhere? Anyway, all I can tell you is beware of Apple. We're trying to go all in, says the headline. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, this is one reason why, in my opinion, you shouldn't eat Mars bars, etc. But anyway, there's a big giant chocolate company, and they want to pledge $1 billion to fight climate change. What it means is, you know, they've fallen for this lie, and this is the Mars, you know, company based in London. They're going to spend $1 billion on sustainability, and they aim, they say, to tackle climate change by reducing greenhouse gas emission and promoting sustainable farming. Mars wants big companies around the world to follow their lead. Warns, they say, of more extreme weather events. You know, they just don't seem to get it, Sam. They just think that, hey, you know, we can just leave those Ten Commandments by the side, and if we don't, you know, hurt the environment, somehow everything's going to be okay. But they forget the G word, the God factor, Sam. But anyway, this is $35 billion food giant that is behind the brands like M&M's, Skittles, and Twix, and they've now launched their sustainability in a generation plan. They're going to, you know, they want to reduce their carbon footprint by more than 60% by 2015. All I can say is I would suggest you not support those folks.
Kurt, don't you want to reduce your footprint?
Well, I think my foot's just fine the way it is. But they say they're a food business, which is based on agriculture. So we care a lot about the farmers who supply us around the world. It's toward, they say, 1 million farmers around the world who produce raw materials for us. They say climate science says many of those are going to be challenged as the world gets warmer. We care about this both on a societal level, but also on a business level. And I would add Mr. Mars Bars, you know, big company, $35 billion in sales last year. You got to remember that God's the one that's in charge of this planet. Now, they were really upset about Trump dropping out of the Paris Agreement, Sam, just, you know, in case you didn't know. And they want that changed. You know what I mean?
Now, Kurt, here's the sad part about this. And this is kind of the reality with a lot of discussion points. You know, I'm concerned about the planet too, Kurt.
Yep.
And I do care about the earth God gave us, and I do believe we need to be good stewards of that earth. And I do believe that, you know what?
Yeah, but you said the G word. You included the G word in this, Sam.
What's the G word?
You know, God. And these guys just want to leave that all aside.
Can't do it.
They don't want to mention
Won't do
that.
It. No, man, yeah, I was told I could be a big rock star on the radio if I'd leave the G word out, and I said no. Not doing it.
Good point.
All I'm telling you is this. Look, I care about the earth God gave us, and I want to take care of it. I agree with them that, you know what, we do have environmental responsibilities. With all rights come responsibilities, and we need to be very careful about how we use the earth, that we make sure that we care for it and take care of it, and I would love to do that. That doesn't mean that I'm going to let government manipulate us, divide us, and become the control mechanism of the earth. That's what government wants. They want to use the earth as a wedge against us. All right? And all I'm telling you is that I agree that the farmers who grow crops ought to, you know, rotate their crops and do things that are, you know, conscientious about the soil. And I do believe that, you know, when we cut down trees to make things out of wood and stuff like that, that we, you know, plant new trees. And I agree that we should do things to make sure that we clean up our water and you know, not have environmental disasters. I agree with a lot of those things. There's a lot we can do. But while the government runs around and tries to use it as a control wedge to control the people and to deny us our rights to property and fair, appropriate use and things like that, when they try to, it isn't about that. For them, it's about population control. For them, it's about controlling the earth. For them, it's about dividing us and destroying our ability to use the land productively and effectively. And proof in the pudding for that is, hey, good, honest folks understand in the forest that you got to have intentional fires every so often to get rid of the debris, get rid of the waste. And it actually is a way that you clean up the earth, that you care for it and take care of it. You have responsible, controlled burns. What the government says is don't touch it. Then all of a sudden it gets too much dead wood and mature wood that is ready to burn. And all of a sudden, hey, a lightning storm or something fires that all off and just burns it all up crazy. There's no intentional control or caring for the earth that way. It's just like mayhem run amok. And then if you try to stop that from happening, then they say somehow you created an environmental disaster or whatever, and it becomes a war on the people. And so I agree with the idea that we got to take care of the earth. Now, I don't agree with the global warming lie, meaning that I believe that there are cycles. Every day and night, the earth gets warmer and cooler. Just go outside in the middle of the night and go outside in the middle of the day and see if I'm not, you know, telling you the truth on this. And I agree there's larger cycles. There's, you know, monthly and yearly and you know, whatever cycles that take place relating to the earth. That's natural and normal and healthy and good. And rather than being concerned about the government controlling us, we need to care for the earth the best we can, and then we need to turn to God for solutions. He'll heal our land is the promise. And so there's no way that you're going to get me to separate these discussions, leave God out of it, because then what happens is government just becomes the kingpin of all discussion. I reject that. I think most government agendas when it comes to the earth, when it comes to global warming, when it comes to any of these discussions, their goal is not to heal and unite. Their goal is to divide and conquer. Their goal is to control. And I reject that global initiative to control. Anyway, so I wish they'd put, you know, a bunch of money into Harvey relief in the private sector and maybe leave the global warming political manipulative discussion off the table, Kurt. What do you think for the Mars folks?
I mean, imagine if they had come out and said that. But, you know, they just don't seem to be on that kind of bandwagon because they want government solutions.
Well, even the
that.
Beer companies are backing up and supporting Harvey Relief. Can't the candy people?
Good point, Sam. I mean, you know, yeah.
And even though I'm not for beer companies, Kurt, we gave them praise when they deserved it, when they're, you know, providing water and things like that to needy people. We commended them for that, Kurt.
Good point.
And I'd be all too willing to commend Mars, too. I'd be like, man, the Mars folks are doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Men are from Mars and women are from Venus? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's right.
So this Mars company must be a racist organization ran by a bunch of chauvinist men. They ought to change it to the Venus company if they want to be fair.
Well, as long as they contribute enough money.
Do a name change. As long as they back global warming, people will lay off the fact they're men from Mars.
Pretty cool. That's right.
But isn't that interesting how, you know, we're going to discuss all these terms and you can't be the Redskins or the this or the that or the Blackhawks or you can't whatever. But yet you can be the Mars company, knowing that men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and they allow that. I wonder if the pay gap is even more extreme over at the Mars company.
Ooh.
Wouldn't you think? I mean, you know. How many males versus females are in leadership over there, and how many white people are in, you know, control? And what color is all their candy, Kurt? Is it white candy?
Ooh, no, I think they got lots of rainbow kind. You know what I mean?
Oh,
all different kinds.
So it's like gay candy.
Looks like Sam Angela Merkel got.
Oh no! Is it, she
with
from
tomatoes.
Germany?
Yes, she is.
People She's threw the, tomatoes at her.
German Chancellor. And then
people threw tomatoes at Angela.
They weren't being too nice.
See, I reject that, Kurt. I don't agree with Angela on anything, but I don't want to throw things at people. That's a hostile, violent act, and I reject it, Kurt.
You are so, well, I was going to say nice, but, you know, you're white. Though,
oh, good
so
point.
You can't be
racist.
But
defending
anyway,
Angela.
Yeah, the.
What I'm really doing is rejecting violence in an effort to call the Prince of Peace.
There you go again, Sam, bringing up God and all that stuff. Germany's DPA news agency reported an investigation is underway in Germany after anti-immigration protesters hurled tomatoes.
They shouldn't do it. It's wrong.
Police said at least two tomatoes were thrown at Merkel during her speech, one hitting her left hip, leaving a stain on her signature jacket, and another one hitting the event's moderator.
But I guess it's better than throwing shoes like a lot of international people used to do, Kurt. You know, tomatoes
point.
Or shoes, I'd take tomatoes, but I'd recommend throwing nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you have it. Now, Kurt, I'm going to say one more thing about God before the hour ends. May God save the Republic of the United States of America.
Yeah, baby.
I'll just lay that out there. By the way, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com. If you want to get involved in every way, including financial, please donate today. We'd be grateful. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We need your help. This nation shall endure.